Belinda and Harper Audio Australia present this unabridged recording of Down the Track, written by Stella Quinn and read by Fiona McLeod. Prologue. The temperature in the living room of the little cottage in Yindi Creek out in the western plains of Queensland was threatening to plummet close to zero, so Ethel had laid in some of the wood from the woodpile that had been home to many a brown snake over the years. Dot never said she was feeling the cold, of course, but Ethel knew. Ever since the shingles that had taken a year or more to come good and had taken some of Dot's eyesight and a lot more of her pep with them, the little sister Ethel had lived with for 77 and a bit years needed a little extra cosseting. Ethel didn't mind, even though she grumbled a bit just to keep Dot on her toes. Cosseting was one thing. Encouraging Dot to turn into an old lady was another thing entirely. "What do you fancy watching?" she asked, bending over as far as her 79-year-old spine would allow her to toss a few lit matches into the newspaper under the logs. "A cooking program? Landline? One of those reality shows with a whole lot of idiots running naked through the jungle, wondering why the mozzies are biting them so bad?" "I was thinking we might get out the scrapbook pit," said Dot. "That old thing? I don't even know where it is." "It's in my room," said Dot, "next to my bed. For some silly reason that I can't explain, it's been on my mind lately. Let's put the good lamp on and go through it, Ethel. It'll be like old times." Ethel knew for a fact old times and sentimentality were on Dot's mind. Having a health scare did that for you when your 80th birthday was two shakes of a lamb's tail away. Made you think about all the people you knew who'd not made it that far before getting their funeral notice printed in the Western Echo. Made you think about all the things they'd never got to do or say. All the things you'd left undone and unsaid. She found the scrapbook, as promised, next to Dot's bed, under a little yellow vase that held a few sprigs of dried rosemary. "Dirt Girl's Diary" was written on the cover, not very decoratively, in a fat red marker pen, like the ones they'd used to mark up the weight of fleece back in the day when they were still on Corley Station and the shearers would visit every April or May. Dot's blister pack of pills sat next to it on a floral saucer that was part of a tea set their mother had been given when she married. That tea set was as pristine now as it had been on the day their mother had unwrapped it. Life on the sheep station out past Yindi Creek in the 1940s and 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, right up until when she and Dot gave the life away, come to think of it, hadn't provided a lot of opportunity for the women of the station to fuss about with pretty tea sets. Dot must have been rifling around in the glass-fronted cabinet in the living room. Maybe that was where she'd found the old scrapbook. "Here we are," Ethel said when she took the collection of old papers and photographs back to the living room. But Dot had fallen asleep on the couch, her cup of tea and saucer, not from the fancy set, still loosely clasped in one hand. Asleep? Or dead? Ethel nudged her sister's ancient paisley slipper with her own matching one, putting some heft into it, until Dot shifted a little. Not dead then, which meant there was no earthly reason why a hot cup of tea and a chocolate biscuit should go to waste. Ethel rescued the cup before it could fall and sat down beside her sister, the dirt diary on her lap. She opened it and began rifling through the pages of bleached Polaroids. How proud they'd been of that camera. Clippings from journals and notes written in her own spidery cursive about the plants and insects of Australia's prehistoric...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?